We're reading Luke 19 and 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. There are our two readings. Thanks, Cam.
Good morning. Today's message is recorded on Luke 19, verse 28 to 48. Verse 28. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owner asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, fold their clothes on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their clothes on the road. Verse 37. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyful to praise God in loud voice for all the miracles they have seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees and in the crowd said to Jesus said, "Rebuke your disciple." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stone will cry out." Verse 41. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day, what would be bring you peace, but now is hidden from your eyes. The day will come upon you when your enemy will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in one every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." When Jesus entered the temple courts, he began to drive those who were selling. "It is written," he said to them, "My house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers." Every day he was teaching at the temple, but the chief priests, the teacher of the law, and the leaders among the people were trying to kill him, yet they could not find any way to do it because all the people hung on his words. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. We'll be looking at that first reading from Luke chapter 19, so if you have a Bible, keep that one open. Can you think of a time when you've seen a person weep? I've seen a few people weep, and the significance of a weeping often depends on the person who weeps. Think of a baby. I have a nephew about 1 year old. He is here today, you might even hear him. He'll cry for any reason. A few weeks ago, I went to visit my sister, and dinner was almost ready. My little nephew was sitting in his chair, waiting for his dinner, and crying because it was taking too long. He wept because he was a little bit hungry. But that's normal for a toddler. Now you could think of an older child. Not as often as babies, but in my experience as a teacher, children can still cry pretty easily. Maybe they stubbed their toe, maybe they had a little argument with a friend. If a teenager cries, it could be a bit more serious. If you see an adult weeping, you probably stop and you notice. It's very likely because of something important. Adults don't tend to weep over nothing. Here in our passage this morning, we will see Jesus weeping. Why was he weeping? Jesus weeps. Let's feel the weight of his weeping as we look through our passage this morning. We will look through it in four sections. First, we'll see Jesus coming to bring us peace with God. Then we'll see that when Jesus came, he was recognized with joy by his disciples. After that, we will see Jesus weep over Jerusalem. And lastly, we will see people not recognize Jesus. So to start off, let's look and see Jesus coming with purpose. Jesus is coming to bring peace with God. Verse 28 has Jesus going up to Jerusalem. He's been on his way for some time. Back in chapter 9 of Luke's Gospel, he had set out for Jerusalem. And he knew what would happen when he got there. He had told his disciples what to expect. We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written will be fulfilled. He said of himself, he will be handed over to the nations. They will mock him, insult him, and spit on him. They will flog him and kill him. And now, Jesus is at the end of his journey toward Jerusalem, the place where he knows he will die. Jesus knew exactly what would happen when he got to Jerusalem. Yet despite this, he came to the city. Why did he come, knowing he would be murdered? We see the answer as we get into this section. Jesus sends two of his disciples to go and get a colt, that is, a young donkey. He tells them to untie it and bring it to him. He says to tell the owners of the colt, the Lord needs it. So why would he need a young donkey? He is concluding his journey to Jerusalem. He is nearly there. Is it that he couldn't walk anymore? No, it's not. Jesus needs this colt to fulfill his purpose in coming. Part of the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 9, says this. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly, and riding on a colt. Jesus was coming as the king. Jesus needed this colt in the same way that King Charles needed a golden carriage on the day of his coronation. It's symbolic and ceremonial. The colt shows us that Jesus is the king. He was the king whom Zechariah had said would bring peace to the nations when he came. That's why Jesus came to the city, despite knowing he would be murdered there. He came to bring peace, and he was willing to give up his life to bring it. But what kind of peace did they need? Let's make sure we hear this. They needed peace with God. This is the same peace that we all need. Jesus had said in chapter 19 of Luke's Gospel that he came to seek and to save the lost. That means every one of us. Each of us has rejected the God who made us. We've sought to live our own way and are lost. If we go about our lives and don't even think of the one who made us, then we have told God that we don't want him to be king over us. We've said, "My will, not your will, be done," to God. And so we don't have peace with God apart from Christ. We will not have his blessing and the goodness of his rule. Apart from Jesus, we were lost and would someday have faced God's judgment. But Jesus' coming is good news. He comes to freely bring us peace with God. It cost him his life, but he was willing. He is the King who offers peace with God freely. Let's rejoice in him. Now we come to our second section. We see the disciples recognize Jesus in verses 35 to 40. The disciples threw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it. They took initiative, recognizing him and proclaiming him to be the king who would bring them peace. Then they spread their cloaks on the road. Would you take your favorite coat and spread it out on the busy road outside this building, over there, for all the cars to drive over? No? Why would they do that? These people in Jesus' time might have only had one cloak. It was their clothing that they wore each day. It may have been their blanket at night. They lay these cloaks down on the dusty road before Jesus for his donkey to walk over. These people recognized Jesus, and in their joy, they wanted to honor him. They spread their cloaks like a costly red carpet for Jesus' donkey to walk over. What an honor. After the crowd have recognized Jesus with their cloaks, they recognize him with their voices. They say in verse 38, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." This was not mindless excitement from the crowd. In verse 37, we see they praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Not long ago, many in this crowd had seen Jesus give sight to a blind man. Who can do that? If I go to a blind man and say, "Receive your sight," I'll look like a fool, but not Jesus. Some of these people had seen Jesus raise a man from the dead. We know that only one person can raise the dead. These crowds have seen Jesus perform all sorts of amazing signs that show his identity. And now they see him coming, riding on a colt, as the king to bring peace with God. They join the dots and they rejoice in his coming. They quote Psalm 118, a song of rejoicing for the day when God saves his people. They know that his coming means peace in heaven, peace with God. This was the best day in history. The coming of the king meant so much to these disciples because they recognized him. And it means so much for us. Jesus' coming also means peace with God for us if we recognize him. So let's make sure that we recognize Jesus. Let's see who he is and receive him with rejoicing. Jesus is the King, come from God, to bring us the peace with God that we need. For these disciples, when they recognized Jesus, it meant they wanted to honor him with their cloaks and it meant they wanted to honour him with their voices. For us, honouring Jesus won't mean laying our cloaks on the road, but we have other ways to honour him. We have our lives. We can use our time to serve him. He's given us gifts, and we can use them for his purposes. We can use our homes to show hospitality. We can use our money to give towards the building of his kingdom. We can use our influence to help others to see who Jesus is. And like this crowd of disciples, we can use our voices. We can use our voices as we come together to praise him, as we have this morning. When we recognize Jesus, we will want to honor him, not out of compulsion, but out of joy. The peace with God that he offers is life itself to us, and it changes our priorities in life. Do you recognize Jesus? Do you want to honor him? I hope you do. In verse 39, we get the first hint that not everyone did recognize Jesus. Some Pharisees, religious people, said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." They called him teacher, but they thought Jesus' disciples were giving him too much honor. It's impossible to give Jesus too much honor. He is God's king, and he's given us the one thing that we needed more than anything else: peace with God. So Jesus replied to them by saying, "If they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." This day when Jesus comes means rejoicing even for the stones. How much more should we rejoice? By bringing peace with God, Jesus has changed everything for us. Recognizing him means rejoicing. And now we reach the moment, our third section. In the middle of all this rejoicing, Jesus, he weeps. There is a drastic change in tone. It's right that his disciples are rejoicing. It's necessary that there is rejoicing. It's the day when God came and brought peace. So why does Jesus weep? As Jesus approached Jerusalem, he wept over it. He said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day, what would bring you peace?" He would have brought them peace. It's what he came for. This is a tragic moment. Jesus came to bring his people peace with God. But, he says, it was hidden from their eyes. He weeps in verse 44, but his people would not recognize the time of God's coming to them. "If you," he says, "even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace." They were the city who were supposed to be God's people. They were those who bore God's name, but they rejected his rule. Even they could have had peace with God, but it was hidden from them because they would not recognize Jesus. There goes my nephew. Jesus longed for these people to see his coming, to turn back to God and to have peace with him. But they would not. That is why he weeps. And he weeps because of the destruction that will come upon the city. He says, "The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls." Jesus warns of utter destruction to come. the city would not recognize Jesus. So they would not have peace with God. The cost of their sin was great. The destruction Jesus spoke of came about in history. Roman armies came about 40 years later and laid siege to the city. Let this be a warning for us. We must receive peace with God. If we don't have peace with God, then Jesus weeps for us. He is not indifferent. He is not cold-hearted. He weeps. He weeps because death is what awaits us if we do not have peace with God. Destruction is what comes upon all who refuse to recognize the King he sent. God has a claim on us. He made us, and we are his. But if we reject him, we are cut off from his blessing. We are subject to death. But thanks be to God that when we recognize Jesus, everything is changed for us. We have true peace with God. Even death becomes a blink compared to the eternity we will have with him. What's striking is that even at this moment, when Jesus knew that his own murder was only days away, he didn't weep for himself. He wept for those who would have him murdered and for the judgment that would come upon them. Jesus' heart was full of compassion, even for those who were against him. And his heart is full of compassion for you. If you have never known Jesus before, it's not too late to recognize him. It's not too late to receive his peace. He is willing to bring you peace with God. His heart desires it, and he was willing to lay down his life for it. Jesus longs for you to know him, to recognize him, and to have the peace with God that he offers. It's a challenge for those of us who do know him. If we recognize Jesus, we should weep for what he weeps for. Do you weep for those around you who don't know him? I sometimes don't. It's been a challenge for me to look at this passage and see Jesus' heart of compassion. Jesus' heart is more loving than mine. Is it more loving than yours? Let's weep as he weeps. After this weeping for the judgment that will come, Jesus finally enters the city. This is our last section from verses 45 to 48. Jesus enters the temple courts, and Jerusalem continues to reject God's rule. When Jesus goes into the temple courts, he drives out those who are selling there. He explains in verse 46, "It is written, 'My house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers.'" This is what it looked like for the people to reject God's rule. The temple was the place where God's name dwelt among his people. It was supposed to be a place of prayer. Jesus was in the court where all of the nations were supposed to be able to come to pray and to have their offerings accepted by God. But it's been wrecked. The people of Jesus' day had taken that place and turned it into a market. Have you ever been to a busy market? Can you imagine a noisy market? Sounds of people buying and selling? Imagine going to a busy market to pray. Those in charge of the temple had turned it into a den of robbers. The nations were robbed of their chance to pray and the chance for God to hear them. The leaders of Jerusalem had no reverence for the place of God's dwelling among them. They oppressed those who had come to God. They dishonored God, turning his house into a market. Jesus drove these people out of the temple, out of his house, and began teaching there every day. He gave the temple another chance to be what it should have been. He came to his house, cast out those who had ruined it, and he taught there. The people could come to him and receive peace. But the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the leaders of the people took their rejection of God's rule even further. God had sent his son as king to them to bring them peace with himself. But verse 47 says that these people were trying to kill him. God is the one who made them. He made them his special people. He is the one they're supposed to serve. And now Jesus comes as the king to bring them peace with God. But instead of recognizing him, they sought to kill him. How foolish these people were to reject Jesus. Instead of recognizing God's son, they put him to death on a cross. So instead of bringing them peace, God gave them destruction. But we can't look down on them like we're any better. Remember, we too have rejected God's rule. All of us have in some way rejected Jesus' kingship. Like the people in this passage, we've said to him, by our words or actions, we don't want you to be king over us. We've ignored him, set aside what he says. That's what sin is. The really good news is that Jesus was not surprised when the people in this passage rejected him. He had factored it into his plan because he was coming to lay down his life to bring peace. He came even to them that killed him. They were not too far gone. Jesus is the king who willingly laid down his life for his enemies. He did this to bring the lost to have peace with God. And that is what he still offers to all people. We must recognize him. If you have never recognized Jesus before, you can do it today. We recognize Jesus by seeing who he is and responding appropriately. The response he wants is for us to put our trust in him as the king who brings us peace with God. We've seen some people in this passage who recognize Jesus. There are those in the crowds who hang on his every word. We ought to hang on his every word. We have his words. They're written for us in the Bible. There are those of them who threw their cloaks on the road to honor him. We ought to honor him with our lives and our possessions. There are those who rejoice and praise God because of him. We ought to rejoice and praise God. These are things people do when they recognize Jesus as the king. Not out of compulsion, but out of joy if we recognize he came and brought us peace with God. I hope that we will all recognize Jesus. Let's rejoice in his coming and honor him with all that we have. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for sending your Son Jesus to bring us the peace we need. We thank you that though we rejected you, you did not consider us too far gone. Please help us to recognize your Son. Please help us to weep for what he weeps for, and to long for those around us to know him as the King who brings peace. May we be glad at his coming and live our lives to honor him. In his name we pray. Amen.